Praise the Lord. United with the Eternal One, part 7. I'd like to read from Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 15 through 17. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. So in order for the testament to come into being, the testator has to die. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So those in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament covenant, they were believing unto receiving life and an inheritance. But they did not receive it yet because the testator had not died. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we come to you this morning, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. It's with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord, we can be in the midst of our worst trial that we've ever faced. And there can be peace that passes all understanding. Lord, there can be rest. There can be comfort. There can be healing, deliverance, whatever it is, Lord, that we have need of at that time. And so, Lord, we're so thankful. It's as if we're living in two different worlds at the same time. And Lord, we're so thankful to be called by your name, to be Lord, partakers of your inheritance, to be loved by you, to be watched over by you, to be nurtured by you, led, directed, instructed, to have you as our friend, our guide, our lover, our father, our provider. Lord, there's so many things that we could testify of this morning because we are the recipients of these things. And Lord, we're experiencing Your very attributes being manifested to us, Lord. And we come to know you in a way that we never would know you, except, Lord, that we would be passing through this little space called time. Now, Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning as we put on our spiritual thinking caps, Lord, as we set aside the trials of life, the cares of life, Lord. May we just dedicate the remaining time that we have here, Lord, to sit at your feet and allow you to minister to us the words of life. Bless each and every one, Lord, and may they receive what they have need of. And Lord, we give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So the Word of God declares to us that there are two groups of people or two classes of people. There is a church natural and there is a church spiritual. And in the church natural, many of them love God. Many of them want to serve God. Many of them want to live for God. They are saved. And many of them walk in the light that they have received. But they are not what we call the redeemed of God. And neither can they be. They can't be shamed into it, beat into it. They're not the saved because they rejected being the redeemed. They're not the redeemed. They are not what we call the redeemed of God. Neither can they be. They are the church natural. And they will never have the same position or the same inheritance as the church spiritual because they are not the children of God. They are not the offspring of God. They are not the seed of God. God wrote a will, a testament, which we call the Old Testament. And then there's another that was written called the New Testament. And he wrote this will after his own choosing. And after the counsel of his own will. He didn't ask anybody. There wasn't anybody to ask. He chose to redeem certain ones. And he wrote the names of those that he would redeem in the Lamb's Book of Life before the beginning of time. Before the foundation of the world. And he didn't consult with anyone. He didn't ask if this is fair or not. He didn't conduct a poll. He didn't put his finger up into the wind to see which direction the political winds were blowing and whether he'd have an uprising on his hands. He wasn't paying attention to what was popular, but it was by his choosing. He didn't rewrite the will once it was written. And the Old Testament was not written based on what those that were under that covenant would be able to obtain by their own strength. And there were prophecies that were written in the Old Testament that were based on the foreknowledge of God. They were based on what God knew that people would do. And there were other prophecies that were written that were based on the destiny that God had already determined for those that the prophecy was speaking of. And those prophecies contained within themselves the power that would then be released to the elect of God that would then allow them to come up to the level that was declared about them in the prophecy. So that none would boast. This is all God. So if the church natural could serve God in the same way that the elect of God serve God, which is the bride of God, if they could do that by choice, then wouldn't you think that they, most of them would do so by their own ability if they could? If you had a choice this morning, whether you would live eternally in the city of God, living under the capstone, or you have a choice of living outside of the city, it would seem that everybody that was a part of the church would want to live in this city, right? Sure. But the church natural has not been given the ability to walk with God at the same level as the church spiritual. In other words, the inheritance that is set forth in the will is based on God's choosing and not on man's choosing. Now, friends, there are certain things that can't be taught or can't be emphasized or can't be labored upon until the right season or the right time. There's a time when you're throwing the net out and it's for whosoever will. And of course, we trust that we're always doing that, that that continues on. But there comes a time when you have to move into things that pertain to a certain class of people, a certain group of people. And you have to preach on those things. And if you do that too soon, if you before people are even saved, before there's even a saved group, it'll have no effect. So there's a certain time and a certain season. So the church natural has not been given the ability to walk with God at the same level as the church spiritual. So it's not based on human ability or human effort to be able to walk in the position that you've been called to walk in. The choice that man makes is whether or not to accept the will of God for his life or her life. And God has a determinate will and God has a permissive will. And his determinate will declares that certain are chosen by him and are ordained to be his wife. And they were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And his permissive will is that none should perish, but that all should be given life. That's his permissive will. And yet we know that many will perish and will not walk in his permissive will. And he knew beforehand who would accept his permissive will and who would reject it. And he provided a way for those that would accept his permissive will, just as he provided a way for those that are chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be his bride. So we see many examples of these two groups of people in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, as an example, we see a man whose name was Abraham. And Abraham, he was called Abraham because God gave him a new name. It wasn't Abraham choosing a new name. It was God showing him what his new name was. And he was chosen to be the father of the promise, the father of the inheritance. And we see that there was another man, and his name was Lot. And Lot never got a name change. Lot was not in the same category as Abraham. Lot was not called of God. Yet he was given an opportunity. There was he was not under the very same covenant that Abraham was under, but yet there was a place for him. God made a place for Lot. And Lot loved God. And Lot served God based on the light that was given to him. And compared to the world, Lot was righteous. Compared to Abraham, it would be a different picture. But compared to the world, Lot was righteous. So there was a place for him also, but not the same place that was given to Abraham and to his seed. Can you say amen to that? So when God wrote his New Testament will, he wrote what was to be given to his family. He wrote what was to be given to the Lot group, if you will, the foolish virgin. He wrote what was to be given to the whosoever will group. And he also wrote what would be given to those who rejected the light that was presented to them. And he sent preachers to these different ones that are in the will to declare unto them what their portion is. But the preachers are not the executors of the will. There are many that try to keep other people from their inheritance. But they are not the executors of his will. Amen? Jesus Christ is the executor of his will. He's the testator and he is the executor of his will. And he declared to us what the will of the Father is. So if you accept that you are whosoever will, if you accept that you are let him that is athirst, if you accept that you are whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, then that's your portion. Okay, I got 2-3 amens. That's the truth. You accept that because that's what the word declares. And you say, this is speaking to me. This is my portion. But there are others that read the very same passage and they will say, well, that's not my portion. That's not what has been given to me. My portion is in another section of this book. And they aren't critical about what has been promised to others, but they recognize that their inheritance is different from those, the whosoever will. Their inheritance is in a different section of the book. It's not in the Lamb's, it's not in the book of life, it's in the Lamb's book of life. And they aren't satisfied with what has been promised to others. They're not critical of what's been promised to others, but there's something down in the inside of the inside that says, that's not me. I can't identify with it. There's a deep call to the deep, and it's down in the soul. And a different portion of the will declares their name and declares their inheritance, and their desire is to see that portion made manifest in their lives. Their desire is to be the inheritor of that inheritance. So they're not John 3:16 Christians. Once again, we're not critical of a John 3:16 Christian. They are John 1:1 Christians. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 10 Christians that are sheep that hear his voice. And that he calls personally by name, that are led by him, and they know his voice, and another they will not follow. Friends, they can't help it. They're reading from that portion and it's speaking right to them. They're not putting somebody out of that. They're not trying to make themselves that. That's what they are. But it's been revealed to them. This is your portion. Hallelujah. John 10 Christians that are sheep that hear his voice. So there's a church natural and there's a church spiritual. When we read in the book of Revelations what the messenger to each age said, it said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Churches. It's not saying, let him...
Let him hear what he's saying to the Word of Life Fellowship, or let him hear what he's saying to Love Divine Fellowship, or different churches in that regard. But he's speaking of the different classes of churches. One's the church natural, and the other is the church spiritual. And we know that there are admonitions in each message that's speaking to the different churches. Because one says, in our day, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And he says, but you don't know it. But you're blind, you're miserable, you're wretched, you're poor, you're naked. But then he speaks to another. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down in my Father's throne. Amen. So it's speaking to two different churches, because there's a group that says, you know, I don't have need of anything. I got it all. And there's another church that realizes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. So there's a church natural and there's a church spiritual. So when you talk to a person that got saved and decided to follow Jesus on a certain day, you're talking about one church, a church natural. But when you talk about a person that came to the recognition that they always were sons and daughters of God, you're talking about another church. When you talk about one that is judged by their works, you're talking about one church. When you talk about another that says he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, well, then you're talking about another church. And that church never started. And that church never ends. Hallelujah. That church dropped down from eternity into the space that we call time and will return back into that circle of eternity. Brother Branham says in Restoration of the Bride Tree, he says, the church natural. There is a church natural. That's the one that's made up by man. Christ. There's a church spiritual. You know, the Bible says that. Yes. Yes, sir. Church natural, church spiritual. And the Bible says, cast out the bondswoman with her child, which is Hagar, for she will not be heir with the free woman and her child. See? So the natural church that's going to inherit what? The binding of the sheaves, the binding of the bundles to be burned. It's a purging that takes place. We read that, we think it's destruction in the sense that they cease to exist, but it's a purging. She will not inherit. She will not be heir with the free woman. If the bondwoman is in bondage with her organizational children, she will not be heir with the free woman. Because the free woman's children is going in the rapture. And the bondswoman children is going to stand in the judgment at the second resurrection, at the great white throne judgment. See, cast out, saith the Spirit of. Yes, sir, he says. So we each find our portion in the will, which is the Word of God. If you want to know what the will of God is, it's the Word of God. And when we hear these things, and when we see these things, it gives us faith. It gives us the faith that we need to walk in what God has already declared about us. But we have to hear it in order to receive the faith to walk in it. So there's something in you that searches. There's something in you that desires to know what your place is. And it is the Word that declares to you your portion of the will. It's not the church. It's not one church saying everybody's going to make it, or another church saying nobody's going to make it but me. It's the executor of the will that declares. So when you read the portion of the will that speaks of those that go through the tribulation period, do you want that to be your portion? Well, there are many people that you can talk to today. I have friends, I have associates, people that I know that will argue to the death that the church goes through the tribulation. I don't argue with them because they're going through the tribulation and they're calling themselves the church. That's their revelation. You then read of those that go in a rapture and escape the tribulation, those whose hearts have been turned by the prophet of Malachi 4 in this day. And also those that heeded the voice of God to them under their messenger in the other ages. And something in you says, that's my portion. Behold, I send you, Elijah, and he shall turn your heart. When your heart's turned, there's no argument. When he introduces you to the true Jesus of the Bible, there's no argument. You realize you couldn't find him, the true Jesus of the Bible, the true word. You couldn't find him on your own. It took a prophet to point you back to the word. It took a prophet to restore the word, and it took the restored word to restore you. You had to hear the word. There was nothing to hear. It was lost to us. It had to be restored. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter how much you try to convince somebody that's going through the tribulation that Elijah the prophet was sent to them, they're not going to receive it. Well, praise the Lord. So the executor of the will, he's here this morning. He's here right now because he is the Son of Man. He is anointing us to hear the portion of the will that is our portion because he's the executor. The pastor's not the executor. The preacher's not the executor. You're not the executor. It's not left up to our opinion, but he himself is reading the will to us. And it's him personally calling you by name and saying, Joyce, this is your portion. Amen. Amen. Others aren't going to believe it, but I'm talking to you. Amen. I have something else maybe to say to these others, but this is to you. And Joyce says, wow, I heard my name. Amen. Amen. He's talking to me personally. Amen. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says, because that would be secondhand. She's heard it firsthand. And it came from his word, so we can have confidence in it. It's not outside the word. It's in the word. We just couldn't read it before. Hallelujah. That's my desire for this life. Hallelujah. So you find where your name is written in the word, which is his will. And the executor of the will personally reveals to you what your name is and what your portion is. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's this day. So there are those that a way of escape has been provided. They're not going through the tribulation period. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet for the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He'll turn your hearts of the children back to the fathers of the children, lest I smite the earth with a curse. An escape has been provided. A way of escape has been provided. And they are accounted worthy, not because they say that they're worthy, but he said, I have made you worthy. So they have been made worthy by him. And there are those that will not escape, and they will be purged by fire through the tribulation. The foolish virgin group is getting saved by God right now. She has to be saved, and she's being saved. And they are being bound together through the preaching of the will to them, because there's a portion that is speaking right to them. We can't say, oh, that preacher, he's a liar and he shouldn't say those things. No, that is their portion of the will.
Hallelujah.
Recall the two messengers that went down and preached to Lot. They had a different message to Lot than what the Lord had to Abraham. The message to Abraham wasn't for them. But they did have a message. And it was based on their works. Do this, and there's a place for you. Brother Branham goes on to say, church natural, church spiritual. There is a church natural that these women here type. And there's a church spiritual also. So the natural church and the spiritual church cannot be heirs together. They are two different separate times. Two different separate peoples under two different separate covenants. They think that they're under the same covenant, but they are not. That's what we thought as Baptists. Their preachers are preaching to them a portion of the word that is not theirs. They're telling them that they have the same inheritance as the bride. They don't. Two churches under two portions of the New Testament. Both are called church. But a bride is within the church and is called out of the church. They both have promises. Friends, the promise of healing is to both groups. The promise of deliverance is to both groups. The promise of salvation is to both groups. The promise of come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They're both promised that. But there's an additional promise given to the second group. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of my ways. Walk with me. And I'll give you rest for your soul. Not just deliverance from sin, but soul rest. Hallelujah. So both have promises. And some of the promises apply to both groups. And some of the promises only apply to one group or the other group. But one has a gene of God that's down in the soul, and they are sons and daughters of God. And others are given life later on based on what they do with what has been given to them. Brother Branham goes on to say, that's why the rapture is different and will only be for the royal seed of Abraham. It cannot come by the natural carnal seed of the church. It'll have to be the royal seed of the Word of God. Through Abraham, the royal seed, the one by faith. People that are looking for all these evidences and explanations, they're just telling you, they're just showing you what seed they're of, what group they're of. It'll have to be the royal seed of the Word of God through Abraham, the royal seed. That's why the rapture has to be first. They get their inheritance first. Because remember, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder or prevent those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together and meet the Lord in the air. Notice, and again it's written, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. So they missed the millennium. Therefore, there they will not be heirs together. They will not be in the rapture together. There is absolutely a church natural and a church spiritual, a church carnal and a church spiritual. Somebody say praise the Lord. They will not live in the millennium. They will miss the wedding supper of the Lamb. Their covenant does not include them living in the millennium. The seed is not heir with the shuck. The seed has one inheritance, and the shuck, which is the part of the plant that the seed is produced in, has another inheritance. Again, he says, there's no judgment to the royal, spiritual, predestinated seed of Abraham, for they are predestinated to eternal life. Their destiny is set. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice which was Christ, the Word. So their destiny is predetermined. When a woman makes a dress, When she gets into her mind, I'm going to make a dress. She buys a certain kind of material that's caught her eye, and she says, this would make a fine dress. Right off the bat, she's chosen material from all the other material. Right. And she says, I'm going to use this material to make my dress. So she lays out the material, and then she buys a pattern or makes up her own pattern and lays it on top of the material. And then she cuts around that pattern that's been laid out, and a dress comes into being. It'll have to, there's some other stitching that'll take place and, different features that are added to it perhaps, but the part that matches the pattern becomes the dress. And then she takes the other part, which is called the remnant, the leftover material, and she doesn't say, well, you're no good, so I'm going to throw you away. How could she say you're no good? It's the same material that the other was, but she saves that portion of the material for another purpose. It's good material in her eyes. It's worth saving. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Baker, is that fair? Is it fair of God to do that? Well, let me ask you, because you do this. Well, let me put it to you this way. Let me just put it out to you as a question. Do you do the same for other people's children as you do for your own? Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I do. You're a liar. You don't. Is it fair for you to treat your children differently than you treat other children? Is it fair for me to love my wife in a way that I don't love you other sisters in the church? You brothers say, you better believe it. Is it fair for God to love those that came from His own being one way and to have another love for others that are not His offspring? Amen. Harvest time. Then he saw a bloody lamb come out. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him and called everything that was on that book. It's the complete book of redemption. And this is it. The book of redemption, he redeemed all that was in that book. Not out of the book. Anything that had a beginning has an end. But if you've got eternal life, you never did begin. And you cannot end. Because you're sons and daughters of God. You are attributes of His thoughts and His word. You have no ending of life if your name is written on that book. The Lamb came to redeem it. Not all that profess Christians, not all that try to live goodly, good and holy, but those whose names were written on there, He redeemed that and that alone, whose names were written on the book. So those that are saved are not redeemed. They're not redeemed because He never lost them. Redeem means to buy back. Redeem means to regain possession of something in exchange for payment. And He paid the price. But it's to regain possession. Which means it belonged to you. Hallelujah. Only elect of God have angels. Only the elect of God are redeemable. And all will be redeemed. Others are savable. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's not hard to get saved. The preachers are anointed of the executor to preach redemption to some and salvation to others. But both groups have to be saved. They have to be saved from their sin first. So we start out being saved and we don't know that we're redeemable. We just want to be saved. Ruth just wanted to be saved. And then she found out that there was an inheritance. Oh my. So both are saved. Again, from the Easter seal. He says there's only one life, one eternal spirit, one eternal life, and that's God. God alone is the eternal. And then we, being His children, are part of Him. That is, the attributes of His thinking. And the thought is expressed, and that expression becomes a word. Then each individual in here that possesses this eternal life was before the foundation of the world in God's thinking. It's the only way it could be, because you're an attribute. That's an expression of a thought. It has become a word. And a word has taken life, and it's eternal. That's the reason we have eternal life, in the same principle that the great Son of God, the Redeemer, listen to this, we become sons and daughters of God through that same Spirit by the same foreknowledge of God. So when the children of God are born on the earth, the attribute of God, the thought of God, which is an eternal thought, is wrapped up in flesh. And it's laying there dormant. But it's there. And it's just as alive. It has no beginning, no ending. But it hasn't been expressed. So when you are born again of the Spirit, hearing the word, the living word of your day, that thought then becomes living word. It's seed that has become quickened. And the spoken word is the original seed. Again, he says in the Smyrna church age. Now, without getting too involved in the subject of the sovereignty of God, which we've went through, for that would take a book in itself, he says, let me point out here that according to these verses, Jesus Christ is choosing his own bride just the same as men choose their brides today. Nobody thinks that's unfair, I hope. The bride today does not simply decide that she's going to take a certain man for a husband. No, sir. It is the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purposed in him, Ephesians 1:9, which we read to you earlier. And Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. He says you can't read it any other way. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing, and that purpose was in himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. Who's going to stop him? Listen, friends, many will say, you know what, I just don't believe that. Many will say, you know what, there's not two different groups or churches. The bride's going through the tribulation period. Some will militantly oppose the message that has been sent actually to the churches, plural, in the last day. Some will reject the message of Malachi 4, of Luke 17:30, of Revelation 10:1-11, and put them off for another day. But to those that it has been sent, they will receive it. Every one of them. They will receive it, and they will respond to it, and they will declare, you know what? That's me. I heard my name. That's speaking directly to me. That's my purpose. That's my portion. That's who I am. And they won't say, I did this. In fact, they will say, grace, grace. The other church cries, grace. This one cries, grace, grace. A double portion. Again, he says, watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God, because God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him, so he was, at that time, only potentially God. And he was known only as eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal. Are they not? You'll recall we've preached a message called God's Eternal Thoughts. This is where it comes from. This is not the church natural. This is not whosoever will. This is not somebody who decided to become an eternal thought. You either are or you aren't. He says, the eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many things. If you can see this, you will see many things. You say, well, I want to see that. I'm struggling to see that, but I don't see it. Well, just relax. Because if the desire is there, it'll come. And you'll realize, you know what? I didn't reveal that to myself. He did. It'll cause you to rest. It'll take this struggle out. Because you can't reveal this to yourself. He has to reveal it to you. Are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many things. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. He goes on to say, skipping down, he says, thus the thoughts of God are eternal and they are real. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint that is drawn up and which one day will be translated into substance and form. Now think about this. This is a powerful thought. He said, they're not just as, you know, God draws up a blueprint and says, okay, one day this blueprint is going to become something over here, right? He says, but they are already real and eternal and part of God. In other words, whatever is in the blueprint already exists. It's just a matter of it being manifested here on the earth. There's no work being done to it. It already exists. They exist in Him. And they are not waiting to be put into existence. They exist. And He's trying to tell you who you really are. And there's a struggle. Because the natural man says, no way. But guess what? The natural man ain't who he's talking to. Sinless? Well, the natural man's not sinless. That's why a price had to be paid. He ain't sinless. But the real you is. He's trying to tell you who you really are. Let me put it another way. He's trying to tell you who you already are. And when you recognize who you already are, you'll start living like who you already are. You'll start manifesting that portion. Again, he says, down through the centuries we could go. We find a Moses and a Jeremiah and a John the Baptist. And each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Amen. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And He became known as the Word. And that is what He is and forever will be. So there's a people of His own kind. A people that receive His thoughts and act on it. A people that have His word and know what He wants done with it. Again, he says, now it says that He hath chosen us in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there. Oh, this is too much. No, I can't read it. This is too unbelievable. This couldn't be, Brother JJ. Remember the mistake you made yesterday? Okay, maybe you didn't make a mistake yesterday. How about last week? This couldn't be you. Couldn't be. Listen. That means we were right there with Him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. You say, I don't remember it. You can't remember it. But that's where you were. He says, that gives an eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from that. Do you realize that before there was a written Bible, there were eternal thoughts of God? The Bible was written to bring you to the manifestation of who you are through the preaching of that word. But if you can receive it this morning, you were united with Jesus in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. You were one. The only way you're going to become one is because you were one. Where did Adam find his bride? In himself. Where did Christ find his bride? She was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Goes on to say, those who are the royal seed are the elect of God. They are the predestinated, foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and his thoughts. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each came forth in the designated decreed season. And each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride, Brother Henry, hold on to your seat. Fasten that seatbelt. Thus, this bride, wake him up. Thus, this bride, somebody's sleeping beside you, they need to hear this. You're here to hear the word. Not what you're dreaming, but what you're hearing. Oh, it'll sound like a dream, but it's true. It's a dream come true. Hallelujah. It's too good to be true, but it's true. They say, well, if something's too good to be true, it couldn't be true. This is too good to be true, and it is true. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. Remember, a word cannot return unto him void. It is what it is. It'll accomplish what it was sent to do. It don't need your help. It's who you really are. It's letting go and letting God. It's separating your mind from your soul. Your mind will fight things to the death, but not the soul. And though she is feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated. Her destiny was set in him. She came from the very same source. Oh, was eternal with him. And now is manifesting God in a many-membered body, whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is too much to be true, but it's the very same God manifesting in a many-membered body. The spoken word was what the apostles preached in the beginning. You know, there are people that are stumbling in our own ranks. And some of you get a little bothered by that, me mentioning our own ranks. You have no idea just how bad things are getting. You have no idea the separation that's taking place. The battles that are going on where people are denying this message that they've walked under, benefited from, made money on, and now that it's not popular, now that their forefathers are gone, now they're walking away from it. And they're struggling with, well, I need proof of this, and I need proof of that, and I need proof of this, and I need proof of that. But if you were the Alpha Church, you had no proof. What do you mean by that, Paul? Who said? God. Well, prove it to us. How about this, Brother Eli? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Paul's preaching that, Peter's preaching that, Mark's preaching that, these other brothers are preaching that, right? And they say, show me where Jesus ever said that. Show me where it's written down. And your testimony is, well, I was there. I heard it. Well, I wasn't there. That's because you weren't in his thinking. I don't believe that. Well, that's because you're an unbeliever. It isn't for unbelievers. Everything that was later on written down was preached. They didn't have a Bible. Can you imagine that? Imagine, you know, we get up and prepare and we study and we get a thought. We search the Bible, search the message. They didn't do that. They just laid on their face before the Lord. And the word came, which people started writing down. Wow. Goodness. It later became written word, stored up, waiting for quickening power to release it to those that would believe later on. It goes on to say, as the eternal Logos, God, was manifest in the Son, and Jesus dwelt, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh. Not two gods, one. And thereby gained the title of Son, God condescending. Even so, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, became the many-membered spoken word seed. Manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts, now manifest in flesh, are the sons of God, even as we are so called. You've heard this, and you've heard it, and you've heard it, but at some point it'll just click. And that's okay. There are things that are clicking for me too. In the right time, in the right season, and we're trusting in God that it'll click. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore we were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. And we might as well just toss this in here. She can't be unborn after she's reborn. So she'll never become a denier of what she once walked in. She will, it is and will be the manifestation of what the word declares about her. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. Again, he says, Jesus Christ came forth. He died upon the cross and he accomplished redemption, restoring to the original owner by means of purchase or paying the price. And thereby, listen to the wording now, and thereby placed us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we were already his sons, but he placed us as sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. That gene that's down on the inside was a son of God or daughter of God, but could not be recognized as a son or daughter of God until it was quickened. So we're not, you know, going through, you know, add to this and add to that and work our way through this, and there's a birth and then there's another birth later on, or there's a seal here and another seal there, and you can somehow get lost along the way. When you are born again, truly born again of the Word of God, you are placed. The prodigal son was not recognized as a son while he was out living in a world of sin. He didn't look like a son, he didn't act like a son, and he certainly wasn't recognized. He didn't have the authority that came with that position. It wasn't until he was cleansed of his sin, it wasn't until he came to his right mind, it wasn't until he came back to the Father's house that we found him placed as a son. But he always was a son. So there was a time when When you and I, we were not yet recognized as sons of God. And we had no clue that we were sons of God. We lived after the flesh. We manifested a different nature in our soul that reflected a different father. Reflected a different kingdom. But one day, the living word came across your path. And one day, that living word quickened you. And then began to illuminate you.
Amen.
And the path that laid before you. And you were born again of His Spirit. And you were placed as sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
You could not be placed until you first came into manifestation. And because of who you are this morning, you don't have to be begged to come to church.
Amen.
Your desire is Him.
Amen.
Your desire is to please Him.
Amen.
You're not doing things out of fear, and you don't need a rule book because He's writing it in your heart.
Amen.
The mystery of redemption is working in you. You are the mystery of God being revealed in this hour, in this day. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 1:21. We'll pull over here in just a minute. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now words have meaning, right? He shall save his people. His people are his people. And they need to be saved from their sins. All of us. No matter what group we're in, we need to be saved from our sins. Others that are not his people can also be saved. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, we read this with our natural mind, and when we read it with our natural mind, our thought is, well, I wasn't a son, but I believed on him, and now I became a son, right? But that's not what it's saying. If you actually look at the words and break it down, first of all, to them gave he power. That word power is exousia, and it means authority, jurisdiction, the ability or strength which one is endued, the power of authority, influence, and of right. So he says, you have a right now. Right now, you have a right. You have the authority. It's placing. Right? But it takes that power.
Amen.
To become, that word become is genomeia. Or genome. Genomahi. Genomahi. I'm not speaking Apache. Genome ahi. It means to come to pass. Oh, I love that.
Amen.
Listen to this. To become sons of God. In other words, to come to pass. To be done. To be fulfilled. Be married to. So in other words, to become the fulfillment. A prophetic word that has the authority released to it to become.
Amen.
Isn't that what a word is? A word is a thought that has been spoken. But then that word has to be quickened. Authority has to be given to that word to become what the word said.
Amen.
Right? So he had to release to you the power to become, to be the manifestation of. Not to become in the sense that you weren't, but the sense of let that be it unto me according to that word. Let it be born. Let it come forth. Let it manifest. Let it be what it is. Hallelujah. Become the fulfillment. Again, very same word being used. Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass When Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So, it's the same word. So, what it's saying is, and it became. It became. It came to pass. It became. It moved into manifestation. Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done. That's the same word. Let it become. So be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So the power, exousia, power was released to become what that word had already declared. It came to pass. Matthew 9:10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. It became. It was prophesied. It became. It was word. It became living word. Matthew 13:53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. It became. It came into being that when Jesus finished these parables, he departed thence. Because that word was already spoken. This is what was to take place. This wasn't some random event. This was the spoken word of God. John 1:13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Born by the breath of God. Amen. By the will of God. Amen. And you became what you are. Amen. Put another way, you became what you already were. Amen. But God had to give you the power to come to pass. Amen. The word had already been spoken concerning you. And you actually are a word, a thought that became a word. Amen. But you needed power to come to pass. Amen. And so I say to you this morning, you are coming to pass. Amen. And nothing's going to stop you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the word of God will pass away or go unfulfilled. His word will not return into him void, but it'll accomplish the thing that it was sent to do. But we need that quickening life. We need that quickening power. We need the living word to speak to what's laying down on the inside. To woo it, to bring it into manifestation, to give it power. Because it's not by our might, it's not by our will, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. And his word is spirit, and his word is life. Amen. Amen. You are coming to pass. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. You are coming to pass.
Amen.
You know, we dream and we dream. This is what I want to be, and this is what I hope I be become. But you've already been declared. And it may sound too fantastic, but it's already been spoke. And if you can receive it, that's who you really are. Oh, but I might get puffed up if I believe that. It ain't got a thing to do with you. It has everything to do with the eternal word, which was an eternal thought coming to pass. What God declared concerning you and you saying, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Let's stand this morning. You love him? Do you believe that's who you are? Are you starting to hear things that are becoming more and more real to you? Listen, friends, we could spend our whole lives focusing on all the details and flaws of our carnal existence. And there's no virtue in that. That'll cause you to want to throw a rope over the rafters and have a swinging party. It looks hopeless. But there's another story being told at the same time. But God, who's rich in mercy. But God, you were dead in sins and trespasses, as were all others. But God, who's rich in mercy, had another thought concerning you.
You lived out the fallen thought, but there was another thought concerning, you were a slave. You didn't have a choice. You were sold out to sin. But God freed you from that and said, now make your choice. Right? You say, well, I thought I didn't have a choice to make. You do. But because of who you are, you'll make the right choice. There's no chance that you won't. If you came out of God, how could you make the wrong choice? God doesn't make wrong choices. I didn't just take your choice away from you. It is your choice. But He chose first. If you were not chosen in Him, you might not care this morning. But if you were chosen in Him, there's something in you that's being drawn, that's being wooed, that's being loved, that's being quickened, that's coming into manifestation. And now you are the very thoughts which became the Word that's read of all men. We read that, we read the Scripture where it says we're written epistles read of all men. We're more than that. We're a thought that became a word that is now being written of all, read of all men. Amen? And you had nothing to do with that. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Well, if I believe that, that'll make me live loose. It'll do just the opposite. If you really believe that, it'll make you want to surrender and say, God, let me just live out that word. Let me set aside everything else. Let me set aside all the cares. And I could get in an argument with somebody. I could get in a fuss with them. And we could hold grudges. And we could talk about who's right and who's wrong. And we could go, but that has nothing to do with your will. It has nothing to do with your word. It's not. We weren't doing that before the foundation of the world. We won't be doing it when we return. So I don't want to be part of that right now. Amen. I want to be what the word said about me. I want to surrender my rights. We all have rights. I want to surrender my will. We all have a will. I want to surrender it that His Word would become my life. His Word is His will for my life. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we stand here this morning, Lord, some of these things have no doubt broken on many, and some of these things are still breaking, Lord. And we're not worried about whether we're smart enough or whether we're deep enough, or because, Lord, when you reveal things to us, it's as if we're little children. It's just so simple, and we wonder, Lord, when these things break open to us through the preaching of the Word, we wonder, why couldn't I see that before? Because it's so plain to me right now. I see it. I never saw it before, but I can never read this Scripture ever again the same way, because now it's speaking to me in a way that it never did before. And Father, you've set it up that way. And Lord, as these things continue to unfold, it builds our faith. It builds our confidence. It gives us, Lord, we become more and more intimately aware of who we really are and what we're here for and where we come from. And Lord, we begin to fulfill our destiny. We begin to live out as we said a few weeks ago, Lord, it's just the opposite of what we do in the world. In the world, we tried to do this and we tried to do that and we put effort forth. This is the opposite, Lord. It's a matter of us trying not to do anything, but letting your eternal word, the eternal thought, become eternal word and become manifested in our lives. It's a matter of us surrendering and saying, Lord, let your word, your will become manifested in my life. Father, I pray that you would minister to each and every heart, Lord. Father, that you'd speak to every heart according to our measure of faith, according to where we're at in our walk, Lord, and take each and every one a little higher, Lord, a little closer to you. Father, it is our desire as a body, not just a local body, but Lord, as the body of Christ here on the earth, as a portion of it, Lord, it is our will, our desire, that your will would be done in our lives. Because we know your will is right. And it's the best way to live. And Lord, it won't come without persecution. But we also know that It's through suffering that that character is formed in our lives. We learn obedience, and Lord, it's that character that must be there before the power it finds its place in a body and releases all of the positionally placed things, Lord, that are to be manifested in our lives, manifested in the body of Christ. So, Father, as we surrender to you this morning, I pray that each one would be encouraged. I pray that each one would be strengthened. I pray, Lord, that we would see ourselves as you see us, Lord. Lord, that the veil would be lifted, that we could get more and more glimpses of who we really are in you. And, Lord, what your thoughts are, your feelings are towards us. And, Lord, it just causes us to love you that much more. Bless each and every one now, Lord. And, Father, we give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul.
Jesus, like the fragrance that comes after.